Yes, indeed. On a Thursday morning, it is powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. That voice you're hearing is not Jason Martin. We're on baby watch. He and Abby are having that baby at some time, and we hope to have an update on that before we are done with the show. But I'm Rhett Bryan from Titans Radio. You can find me on Twitter at RhettBTennessee. Of course, the show at JMart and Ramon, at Ramon Foster, and at Schaefer on Sports, as Jonathan Schaefer is always producing behind the glass.
Yeah.
Big Ramon, we have covered the topics this morning, talking about dad, being dads, knowing that Jason Martin's going to be a dad at any time now.
Yeah.
And we're going to take some more calls on that in here in just a second. But we're going to get into some other things, too. We've got George Atala from the NFLPA coming up in the 8 o'clock hour at 8:20. And then, of course, NFL ESPN analyst and your former teammate Ryan Clark at 9:20. We'll have great visits with both of them throughout the morning in this deal. Let's go back to the phones with Tony in McMinnville with some baby advice. Tony in McMinnville, you're on J. Martin Ramon. Go ahead.
What's going on, Tony?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. I got a funny story. My girlfriend had an infant child when we met. And the baby gets to about 3 or 4 months old, and she continuously just kept trying to get him to say mom or mama. And she never would, like, when he would babble on, she wouldn't respond to him. Well, I did, and one day this baby just blurts out, "Hey, Dad."
Wow.
And I said, "Yes, son." And that is all that child said for 3 weeks. My girlfriend was so mad. She wouldn't talk to me for like 2 or 3 days.
Wow.
And every time I walked in the room, it was, "Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad." Oh, it drove her crazy. I'm happy for Jason. I love the show. I do have a name suggestion.
Okay.
Yes.
Derek Ramon Martin.
What was it again?
Derek Ramon Martin.
Derek Ramon Martin.
How about that?
I like that.
That's good.
You know what? I'd be honored. I'd protect him. It's a little Rashafe, too. Either way, it's going to be Rashafe, okay?
Look, it doesn't matter. It's Rashafe.
It's Rashafe, 100%. But Derek Ramon Martin is all right, too. I'm going to be honest with you. DRM.
Tony, thanks for the call. Appreciate
Thank you,
that.
Tony.
Let's go to Cousin Andrew in Portland. You're on J. Martin Ramon. Good morning, Cousin Andrew.
Morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ramon. Good morning, Rhett. You got the R&R in there. I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, so Cuzzo, Mike, turn up your radio, but keep your hands on the steering wheel because I'll send you what I'm about to reference here. My situation, my father's story is pretty similar to Cousin Mike's. You know, my boy is not my blood, but he is my boy. And you know, there's a song, and I don't know, you know, it's a country song, but it's a tearjerker. And you know, Cousin Mike, with your situation, dude, I'm telling you, you need to look this song up. And like I said, I'll tweet it to you so that you can have it. You ain't gotta, you know, search and drive here, but it's by LV Shane, and it's called My Boy. And man, I tell you what, you never heard it, you listen to it. Because even if, you know, even if it's your biological son, whatever, it's a good listen. It's a good song. It's a good story. It's a tearjerker. And I'm getting teary-eyed just thinking about it.
Wow.
But you know what? This boy changed my life. Never missed a game. You know, he's not my blood. I wasn't there when he was born, but good Lord, he's my world. So that's all I wanted to say. Good luck to you, Jason. Love you, boys. Y'all take it easy.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Cousin Andrew.
Man.
See, and that's the thing. That's what I love about your guys' show is life is greater than sports.
Yeah.
Yes, we're on a sports station. Yes, we talk sports. We want to hit all the topics, and certainly Titans, Vols, SEC, whatever. But life is here, and that's what is so great about this is that life precedes and just over values everything else.
Yeah, it does, Rhett. Hey, clear it, Rhett. clear it up, Rhett.
Yes.
Whew. All right, man. Let's open up the window around here, get some air in here, Rhett.
Yes. All yes.
Right. My man.
So, hey, Jadeveon Clowney. Wait a minute.
Jadeveon.
Hang on a second. We've got a call.
Who?
Right here. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Do we have a baby watch bulletin? Hang on just a second.
Oh, ain't no way this is the name that I think is on this prompter up here.
Yeah, I'm waiting for instruction here from Jonathan Schaefer. Stand by, everybody. Listen to the J. Martin Ramone here on 104.5 The Zone.
We are on Baby Watch.
We are on Baby Watch, absolutely.
From the studios of 104.5 The Zone and the J. Martin and Ramone News Desk, it's a Baby Watch Bulletin. Stand by.
All right. So let's go right now to the phones at 615-737-1045. Jason Martin, is that you, sir?
Oh.
This here is Shaquille Sunflower.
Do you have news to share with all of the family here on 104.5 The Zone?
Yeah, you know what I do. Yesterday had some unique challenges, to say the least. It wasn't there were some moments there that were a little frightening. I won't lie. And then we were wondering how the day was going to end, whether or not there was going to be an update this morning, and if it's going to be this morning or whatever it would be. But last night at 8:26 p.m., our daughter, Abby and I's daughter, Clara Grace, was born 6 pounds, 8 ounces, healthy, loud. Looks like she's trying to take my job already.
There it is! Reggae horn!
Wow. Jason Martin, congratulations. 6 pounds, 8 ounces. Clara Grace Martin is in the world. Ooh. How about that?
Jason.
Yeah, and I've started talking. I've started taking the call in her CG. Like, it just kind of happened.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's going to be okay, CG. So that's shorthand for her. But I know Rashafe is also still out
there. Well, please pass along our congratulations to Abby, because obviously she's the one that did all the work in this.
Yeah, yeah.
But, man, yeah, fantastic. No, fantastic news. I'm glad to hear that CG is doing well, and that Abby is doing well, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything is as good as can be expected, especially given all the circumstances. And hey, I looked, I was down there.
What?
I was active, and I cut the cord.
Did you?
Jason.
Yeah.
Mad respect, sir.
Mad respect.
You manned up in the room.
The question.
How about that?
8 o'clock last night. So did you actually sleep last night, Jason?
Yeah, we did. Sleep since we got here Tuesday evening has not exactly been primo sleep. Like, it's like an hour and it feels like you're back up or something like that. But
yeah.
I mean, she's sleeping great. I wish I had that.
That's going to be the rest of your life, Jason.
Jason, I tell you what, and we've had phone calls already by the numbers this morning. You know, Ramon and I kind of shared our moments as being fathers, seeing our children for the first time, and of course, with you in mind. And so many have passed along their well wishes and congratulations, you know, uh-huh, knowing that a baby's coming. And now we know it's a baby girl, Clara Grace.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, Cousin Mike's going to be excited, man, because he was hoping I was going to be a girl dad. And like I said, I had grown increasingly. I thought it was going to be cool. I know you know all about that, Rhett, but really, like, I told Moan this months ago, watching the Kobe Bryant thing and watching how he loved his daughters and stuff really made me kind of feel like that will be a really cool experience. And maybe we're going to get the opportunity to do both, but I'm super excited about this. And you hold a baby for the first time. It's still kind of surreal,
mm-hmm,
looking at that and realizing, oh, wait, that comes home with me. That's our child.
Well, this has been on your radar and your calendar for months and months now, and now there's this epiphany. There's this little living, breathing, miracle human baby girl,
mm-hmm,
that is now looking to you as dad and Abby as mom, and I need your help, and you, and she's your everything now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's got a dope hat, too. Like, they put a hat on her immediately, this beanie.
Yeah.
Like, I'd wear that hat.
I'm going to be taking the baby stuff, Jason. The baby food is hers. You know what? That milk is hers, too. You stay away, all right?
Oh, you wait till Slay puts a do-rag on that child.
It's all mine.
No, all the news about your new baby ain't for you, okay?
Well, yeah, so that's the story here from St. Thomas Midtown. We're hoping to leave tomorrow, but all gravy now. We were able to tell both sets of grandparents. In one case, it was their first.
Wow.
In my parents' case, my half brother had a daughter who passed away several years ago, tragically. So I was able to tell them that once again they were grandparents last night, and that was you can't can't really prepare for an experience like that.
Milestone moments in life.
Well, like I said, I know you guys got business to handle, but I thought I'd pop in for just a couple of minutes while I'm still lucid enough to do so.
Well, Jason, get the rest where you can. You're going to need it. But congratulations, congrats. And I guarantee you, you'll feel the love from over here at 10 Music Circle East because people are calling in left and right.
Clara Grace, man.
Congratulations.
Congrats, Jason.
Appreciate you guys.
Proud All right, of you. Guys, take care of yourself. Brother. All right. Jason Martin, Abby Martin with daughter Clara Grace Martin, 826 last night, 6 pounds, 8 ounces. Man. A healthy baby girl.
Healthy mom.
CJ.
Get the blow-up house, Jay. It's time to have a party, man. Clear out this parking lot. Bring on the clowns, the bouncy house wreck. Can we get a roller coaster outside?
Let's do it.
Let's get a roller coaster,
Someone
man.
Said the clowns are already on the air right now.
Spare no expense.
You know what?
Let's do the fireworks too, right?
Golly, yes, fireworks.
All right, on the way. So now Baby Watch is over. Ooh. Baby is here. Clara Grace Martin. So congratulations to Jason That's and Abby awesome. On that. And when J. Martin Remote continue here on 104.5 The Zone, we're going to talk about Jadeveon Clowney being a Brown now. We're going to talk about the Titans. And what does a Super Bowl window mean? We're going to get into all kinds of great things, including Georgia Tyler from the NFLPA, Ryan Clark from ESPN as the NFL analyst, your former teammate, all when we keep moving on J. Martin Remote on 104.5 The Zone. Visit all the number 4 seasongarages.com/Nashville. To learn more. Rhett Bryan filling in for Jason Martin here on J. Martin Ramon. And we have Baby Watch news. Clara Grace Martin.
Yeah.
The daughter of Jason Martin on this show and Abby Martin, 6 pounds, 8 ounces. Congratulations to them. If you go to Twitter at J. Martin Ramon, you will see some retweeted photos from Jason with Abby and he and the baby. Beautiful, beautiful girl. Congratulations to all three of them. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome. Beyond awesome, man. That's a blessing. Truly, really is, man.
Life-changing moments, man. That's what it's about.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
That's right.
Welcome to the club, man.
Big time.
Whew, I tell you who else got kicked out the club here.
Who's that?
Jadeveon Clowney.
Mm-hmm.
That answer turned out to be
no. So he signs a 1-year deal with the Cleveland Browns, $8 million, another $2 million incentives to make it a $10 million deal. And I think Titans fans took exception to what he said. What did he say, Ramon?
Do we have audio? I need to just go out and say it. I'm going to say what he said. He said this. He was like, why'd you sign with the Browns? In just context of, you know, Clowney, them asking him the question. He was like, man, this is a good team, basically. He was like, they won more games than the team I played with last year. He won 12 games, right? And it was a lot of things that really just registered to me when he said that. I was just like, you didn't really play a whole lot. You was brought in for a reason.
Played 8 games.
You know, and it's not like the Titans had a losing season last year.
Right. They won their division.
Won their division. Cleveland didn't win their division.
Yep.
There's, yeah. There's
and then he goes on to say, I'm going to be playing, you know, alongside a guy like Myles Garrett, and maybe he'll get the double teams, and I'll get a one-on-one.
And now I can get one-on-ones. Stop that, Clown. Like, let's be honest. You well, had the thing. One-on-ones.
You were brought here to be that guy to effect change.
So the thing that he kind of contradicted himself with was kind of saying, like, he wants somebody to help him out. Like, no, you're numero uno. You're the guy that's demanding this from certain clubs and teams, and you're asking for help from somebody else. I didn't see Big Jeff asking for help.
And let's go reel back the stats, big man, because here's your stat line. 19 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, forced fumble, 4 pass breakups, 28 quarterback pressures, which is what he does, Ramon.
He is a disruptor.
That's what Coach Mack and all of us said. That's his MO. He is a disruptor. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I'm like, that's not a great stat line for $12 million.
That's not good. I mean yes, that's exactly what I just thought. It was a ill-advised shot that he took.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to play Cleveland next year. You know, I mean, you're not going to play the Titans next year,
right?
Jadeveon Clowney. I get it. You're selling out for your new team, and that's what you're supposed to do. But it's not like Tennessee did you wrong in this.
Nope.
it was, you know, another surgery and a bad situation for yourself. That sucked by him.
They
by
paid
saying
you 12 million bones, man.
And it goes to the fact that, again, the business side shows his head every single time, man. As we're getting callers already. Oh, Cloudy, Rat. This is
let's cue them up. Let's do this.
Let's roll to? Into it. Yeah,
let's go to Jordan in Nashville. You're on with J-Mart Ramon. Go ahead.
Hey, first off, congrats to J-Mart and Abby. So happy for them. I know y'all going to spoil the heck out of Fairgrade.
You know it.
Teddy from here and until the end of time. But, hey, Clowney, you only played in eight games and had zero sacks. I had the same number of sacks as you last year. Imagine how many games the Titans could have won if you were not injury prone. Waste of $12 million. Hey, Cleveland, Clowney is all yours. We got Big Bud Dupree. Let's go.
There it is.
All right. Jordan is hot.
And you know that's going to be the
shots
comparison,
fired.
Too. And there's no reason of buds, though. But it's like, all right, let's see what a rusher is really going to do now. You know, that he didn't have to yesterday is what I'm getting. He didn't have to. Nobody was
You can be excited about your new venture with the Cleveland Browns, who have a lot of pieces in place, without going there.
Don't talk to your new girlfriend about your old girlfriend, man. It's just like,
she don't want to hear that.
Let's talk about why. Like, you like Baker? I can name them a few things right now. They got Myles Garrett. Awesome. One of the best in the world. He could have just said that without saying he got help from somebody else. Like, Myles Garrett, best in the world. Their defense has a lot of early first-round draft picks. The offense, I mean, he got a nice offense here in Tennessee, too. He could have said they got a dynamic duo in the backfield. Baker Mayfield is growing up as we see him week in and week. I could have did his presser for him.
You sure could have and done a better job at it. You just did.
Oh, my God.
Let's go to Cousin Paxton here at 615-737-1045. Go ahead. You're on with J-Mart and Ramon.
Hey, guys. First off, once again, hey, Jason, if you're listening, buddy, congratulations, man. Like, dude, what a beautiful, wonderful blessing you all have just received, man, and being a girl dad is awesome.
Mm.
That's the good. Let's get to the bad. All right. So, I saw, you know, his little presser, you know, Mr. Clown or Clowny, or is it Clowny or Clown? I think it's Clown, right? Yeah, it's Clown.
Wow.
It's definitely Clown. Yeah, he's a clown, man. Like you said, Ramon, you don't have to put down your old team, you know, to promote your new team, man. I mean, you're talking about, like you said, a team that just won the division,
mm-hmm.
you know, that had finally won 11 games after going, you know, 9-7 for 4 or 5 years in a row. And, you know, you come in here to be what we thought you were going to be, the hope. Basically, we signed Dupree. We signed a guy this year that we thought you were going to be last year. So if you want to talk about that, man, we're glad we replaced you with an upgrade, with a guy who's a team-first guy, and he's not worried about who's going to get double-teamed. He's going to get in there and get sacked because he wants to get in there and get sacked. And he's a better player. So, Jadeveon Clown, man, go back to the circus, buddy. We're done with you. Hey, guys, I love you always, man. Take care.
Appreciate
right,
it.
Cousin Paxton, great call. Well, we can see where the litmus is, the old barometer is on Jadeveon Clown in this thing. They're ready to move forward.
And you know what? this offseason, I think, kind of backs up what Jadeveon Clowney said in his presser for Cleveland, too. And it backs up what John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, and his staff did with this free agency as opposed to last year's free agency, too. By listening to Clowney and what he had to say, they went total opposite of what they did last year. And it's yet to be proven because the game still got to be played out, Rhett. But just listening to when we say these names, Bud Dupree, Danico Autry, Janoris Jenkins, heck, even Kendall Lamb, who's on the other offensive side of the ball,
Josh Reynolds,
those okay for offensive side for the offensive guys. Before we get to the defense, is this those guys? Well, both guys said they know the role that they're playing. They're looking to help this offense be better than it was. Josh Reynolds is the guy said he know the role he's stepping into behind where Corey Davis was. It's acknowledgement of, look, this offense is where it's supposed to be at. Being a pro in this league is understanding of roles. If you are a superstar, a guy, guess what? Coach Tomlin always called on guys. Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night games, big games, the 1 o'clock games, Baltimore versus Pittsburgh. Hey, I need my A players to step up to the plate. And truth be told, everybody should have thought they were an A player. And I did think I was an A player, but you knew exactly who he was talking to at the end of the day, too. This is the game that AB is going to be, you know, highlighted. This is the Le'Veon game. This is the Juju game. Ben is going to give his all for this game. Like, that's what you're saying. Everybody else, you're an A player also. But those guys are going to take it over the top. Kendall Lamb and Josh Reynolds are guys that say, look, I want to be a part of this A-style type of offense that Tennessee has, and I'm going to play my role to be a part of it. Check. Would you say I'm right on that acknowledgement? Again, acknowledgement of your role. Not saying that you're not important. It's just that, hey,
you're not greater than the team, though.
Yes, and I'm willing to just walk into this, okay?
Right.
Perfect. Defensively, just listening to what Clowney said. And I'm a psychological type of guy when it comes down to, I'm going to study a guy to see what his moves is. I'm going to see how he thinks. I'm going to see how he acts when he wins. I'm going to see how he acts when he loses, okay? That's my MO for studying. How am I going to attack this guy? Does he only play well in the first quarter to where he deads out and coming out of halftime? That's the way I'm breaking down the guys that I play against. When I'm looking at film, what does his first five plays look like? Coming out of halftime, what does his second five plays look like, and how does he finish the game? Hearing Jadeveon Clowney, if you're trying to get into the mind of an NFL player, I'm telling you what I think when I hear guys talk. That's what I did. What is it? Are they emotional? Clowney showed that his fault was last year and maybe over his career. I'm looking for somebody else to help me. When in all actuality, you are the show.
And I gave you a stat line. And by the way, exactly. Three quarterback sacks in his last 19 games. Back to his term in Seattle.
So he's looking for somebody else to do the job that he's brought in to do. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the guys that John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, them have signed, and these are the guys that I've played around for sure. Ola's another one of those guys, okay? Adenye. Mm-hmm. This Bud is a guy that's not going to look for somebody else. He's going to say, hey, we're going to go with this together. But I'm not counting on you to get me to where I want to be at. You know Janoris Jenkins is a guy. Jackrabbit is a guy that says, look, if it's in my control, I'm taking this over.
Win the one-on-one.
Win the one-on-one. Danico altering his presser. What was he like? I know my value. I know what I bring to the table, and I can't wait to show that.
Right.
That's what you're dealing with. It is a mindset that you deal with. It's a mindset that you build when you're trying to create a culture. And right now, the way Clowney went about this isn't what you wanted in your locker room anyway. And this is not crapping on the guys, just that if I'm on that defense now, I'm glad he's gone, because the answers are within you. I'm not looking for somebody else to give me the answers to the test when I know the answers are my hard work, my mindset, and what I'm going to do on Sunday, Mondays, and Thursday, right? That in itself shows you why they went far right when it came to this year's free agency. That's just me and my soapbox talking about what it takes to be a pro. And Jadeveon Clowney is a pro. He's a true pro, but that mindset on what he had and just to take a shot at the Titans or just take a shot at any old organization. I only played with one, so I never had that opportunity to take a shot. But what I'm telling you is this. Listening to that presser, and I know everybody wanted Clowney here last year, but now you get to see what it turned out to be and why there wasn't much traction behind it. And I know he had an injury. That's part of the game, too. But that mindset that he displayed on looking for somebody else to help him out, and I know it's a team concept, Rhett, but let me tell you this. When it came down to my one-on-ones, or if my guy was out, if Marquise was out, or if Al was out or not having a day that he wanted to have, guess what? I'm picking up the slack. I don't know if he's a pick-up-the-slack type of guy. And that's questionable at best, considering, you know, what you're compensated at to be an A type of player, you know?
All right.
A lot.
Look at you unpacking it.
It's just – when you play the game, Rhett, you've been around dudes.
Yeah.
You know the difference, okay?
Heard from him in that presser yesterday, that's what sets you off.
Exactly. Yeah, that's sure. I'm a firm believer of, like, man, you better go hard, because if you don't, you're going to get labeled, and nobody wants to be labeled. Like, you can say whatever you want to say about me, but you ask my teammates and the guys I played against,
mm-hmm.
Moan went in, okay?
Like, never a question.
And that's not patting myself on the back on anything.
But never a question.
But you know what? It started with a mindset, though.
Yeah.
I ended up playing games without three of my, you know, guys that I started with on the line. But guess what? Hey, let's go to work. That's how I looked at the young guys I was playing next to.
Yeah.
Or if I had a young rookie offensive tackle who was just now grooming himself into the league that's now a starter, Kelvin Beachum. Here I was playing against him, undersized left tackle. Now he's been in the league for, I think, close to a decade. Because why? We created a mindset that when we walked on the field, we're going to be the guys. That's how you survive in this league. That's how you continuously get jobs and you perform at a high level, you know?
Sure.
A lot of people, as you said, Red, you kind of alluded to it when we were off break, is some people live off reputation. And that's just simply what it is without proving anything. It's just like an old washed up rapper, man. It's like, why are you still releasing albums? Like, you know, you get it
tired,
when I say that.
Tired.
Like, come on, man.
All right. Well, this brings up a topic that we kind of touched on yesterday, just thinking about this show today. Where does this leave a Super Bowl window for the Titans? And Jadeveon Clowney doesn't change a whole lot there.
Right.
We know that by what we saw in a sample size of 8 games. But has it begun for them yet? If it has, when did it begin?
Yeah.
And what does that look like in the AFC? We know that, you know, it's down to the Kansas City Chiefs as your competition.
Mm-hmm.
And your Buffalo Bills are right there. Sounds like New England's getting reloaded to try to make a run. So, you know, you've got your competition.
You can't discount Cleveland.
No, not at all.
And Baltimore is a big rival of the Titans still.
Right.
Indy has made some moves.
Mm-hmm. And the Carson Wentz thing, we don't know how that's going to play out.
We don't know
how. We think we know.
We don't. It's
if Carson Wentz is good, that's a bad problem for the Titans.
It is.
And if it doesn't work out for them, you know, hey, here we go. And then Houston, you know, in the division, that's a mess right there with the Deshaun Watson thing. But you mentioned the free agents that they've gotten. They still have needs in this draft 2 weeks from tonight that they will address in this thing. But, you know, I don't, you know, they won 11 games. They won their division for the first time in 12 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think with the pieces they've added, I don't think they've gone back too far in steps backward. Now, you've lost some things on offense, but again, it's a deep receiver draft.
Yes.
So you can take care of some things with Corey Davis. You can go get you a tight end to try to take care of the Jonnu Smith absence. And you need a corner now. That's where you're going to, you know, corner and wide receiver are probably the top of the list, but you're going to need – other places, you know, like tackle, guard,
yes, you got
safety, linebacker.
My mindset has always been, and Red, you correct me if I'm wrong, though, but some teams reload and some teams rebuild. You got to be a reload team. You don't want to be rebuilding year after year after year.
No, there's a distinct difference.
There's a difference, okay? And you speak about the O-line in a sense. Like, you got to start putting some pieces in place. Kendall Lamb's a start of it, you know, and he may end up being a starter type.
Right.
But you got to start center.
Well, and Father Time is calling here, and you're right. Ben Jones and all the way to the left is all in their 30s now.
Yeah, and truth be told, the guy that kind of crushes that theory has been Andrew Whitworth, okay?
He is the antithesis.
He's
kind of like Jackie Slater all those years ago with the Rams, who played for 20, 21 years, whatever it was. But, yeah, Andrew Whitworth, 39 years old and still playing at a very high level.
Yes, he is still. But to that point, though, you got to at least start fostering some guys to put them in a role because, Sapho was set a couple games last year, right?
Yep.
We were without Taylor Lewan.
Yep.
Like you said, Ben Jones is an older center.
And Ben Jones had his moments. Now, he didn't miss time, but he missed series where he was dinged up and had to come out and come back in.
And if for anything, and I know that's the way it was in Pittsburgh, but that center position is close to the quarterback, meaning you're touching the ball every single play. And not only that, you got to know almost everything that the quarterback knows at the line of scrimmage. Now, the route tree and all of that type of stuff, like, not so much. But as far as seeing a defense, being able to see the way they're rotating, if a linebacker's stepping down and one's dropping back, like, you got to see the pre-snap stuff that the quarterback is seeing. So at some point, you got to start grooming a guy, right? Like you said, Ben may not have missed a lot of time, but being an older guy, those injuries take a little bit longer to get back from, too, you know?
Right.
That's just the reality of the sport.
Well, and that goes to your conversation with Braden Gall here yesterday morning about Flacco in a comparison with a Ryan Tannehill. And I want to get into this next. I want us to talk about, there is a couple of quarterbacks. It's amazing how close they are in stats, but one's in the Hall of Fame and one is not.
Yeah.
And that's Troy Aikman and Steve McNair. Let's talk about that when we continue as you listen to J. Martin Ramon, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors, right here on 104.5 The Zone.
They got a great team. They're definitely on a winning team. You saw, you won 12 games last year, right? More than what my team I played for won last year, I think.
J. Martin Ramon on 104.5 The Zone, presented by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. There is the voice of Jadeveon Clowney, the newest member of the Cleveland Browns, and a question from Aditi Kinkabwala on his new tenure there, a one-year deal worth up to $10 million. And so that, you know, we've been talking about that this morning. We've got a couple of fired-up callers about that and the lack of stats in his one-year tenure or eight game tenure, you could really say, with the Titans in 2020. And but anyway, you know, it's we talked about, you know, where's the Super Bowl window for this team briefly, and, you know, some pieces in place and what do they need going forward. And it brought to mind, you guys, you had a great conversation with Braden Gall yesterday about Ryan Tannehill's comp, and that would be Joe Flacco is what you guys looked at. And that the main separating, differentiating factor is that he won a world championship and went on an incredible four-game run that year in the playoffs with the Ravens in 2008 and won it there in the Superdome, even after the lights failed and the power went out for a half hour or whatever it was, and beat the 49ers. So I got to thinking about this, and I'm like, you know, and I can't take credit for this. Voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, put this on my radar years ago, and he's exactly right. There's a couple of historic quarterbacks that almost have identical career stats. One is in the Hall of Fame, one is not, and one is in the Hall of Fame, I think, largely because he has three world championships, and that is Troy Aikman, and then the franchise quarterback for the Titans, Steve McNair.
Yeah.
And I sent you this stuff yesterday, and you did a double take in it.
I did. I had, Rhett, no idea, man. If we're going to read off these stats, like, real quick, because when you sent it to him, I was like, well, yeah, he deserves to be in it. Because, again, we talked about it in the 6 o'clock hour with the quarterback, it's about their numbers, too.
Right.
But with them, they get more justification because of their rings. Now, again, looking at this, McNair versus Aikman.
Yep.
McNair, the numbers I'm going to read first when I say something else. McNair's games played, 161. Aikman's 165. They have he's got 4,544 attempts and 2,733 completions. Aikman's at 4,715 attempts with 2,898 completions. 60.15 completion rate for McNair, 61.46 completion rate for Aikman. This is where he gets really, really thin right here. McNair, Steve McNair's got 31,304 yards passing. Troy Aikman's 32,942.
Not that much difference.
No. Steve McNair averages 6.9 per, okay? Aikman, 7 per. 174 touchdowns for McNair, 165 for Aikman.
So better in that regard.
Better in that regard. Steve's got 119 interceptions. Aikman's got 141.
So better in that regard, Steve McNair.
Overall passer rating, Steve McNair is 82.8. Troy Aikman, 81.6.
So a better passer rating, more touchdowns, and less interceptions.
Four less games played by McNair also. That's it, you know?
And Troy Aikman was never an MVP.
Never. Steve
McNair was a co-MVP in 2003 with Peyton Manning. But the thing that McNair doesn't have is three world championships. But think about those numbers are incredibly almost identical. And, you know,
and this is the thing,
Eddie
too.
George was the genesis of that team.
Yeah.
Just like Emmitt Smith was the genesis and how that thing ran for the Cowboys.
And this is a thing that's so interesting about these two is McNair is a guy, both of them played in basically the same era. Mm-hmm. This isn't where, you know, you're ending with Drew Brees and Tom Brady, 60,000 passing yards.
Right.
We're judging them both on the eras in which they played in.
Correct.
They both played in the same era. Now, both of these guys in the same era, and they are comparable to an extent, and they are. That conversation's got to be had by the committee at some point. It's not like he's just a fly-by-night guy. It's a franchise starting quarterback in Steve McNair. You know, this is a guy that was influential. Clearly, he ruled an era. He was the league MVP, co-MVP, whatever you want to call it. Heck, MVP is what it's listed at.
And his game really was defined when Mike Heimerdinger came in here a few years later into his career as the offensive coordinator and really developed him into a passer. Because while he did amazing things at Alcorn State and the SWAC Conference in college, I remember watching his games that senior year because he was a Heisman finalists, you know, he's finished third.
Yeah.
You know, he was a run first and you know, and then or check down to Frank Wycheck over the middle or whatever. And he really developed into a really nice passer in his later years in the league. And but it's fascinating to me just to see that laid out side by side.
So, Rhett, this is the question. And, you know, we're trying to justify Steve McNair being in the Hall of Fame. But if Aikman only got one ring or no rings, is he in the Hall of Fame?
I think he is just because of where he played. I think you know, you've got that team around. I mean, part of it is a product of the team around you. He clearly led that team as the quarterback.
Okay.
But without Emmitt Smith, without the playmaker Michael Irvin, without that defense, you know.
So you said one ring or no ring, he still get in. Well, Steve has no rings and a league MVP.
Yeah.
You're saying he should be in too then?
You know, there are a lot of people who disagree with me, but I think at some point he gets in.
Steve gets in.
I maybe I'm wrong.
We talked about a guy now, before,
and I think the thing that hurts him is, and you touched on it, the Tom Brady's and the Drew Brees with 60, 70,000 yards passing and all those kinds of things. And that's why, you know, like early tight ends in the game that have even are into 500 catch and 5,000 yards receiving club don't have a great chance because of Antonio Gates, because of Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah.
You know, but I know this from talking to a couple of Hall of Fame voters. It's not about stat stacking as much as it is that compounded and in concert with, you know, how you affected a window of time in dominance, as you say, and winning titles and winning divisions and, you know, those kinds of things.
Right.
It's why I say, you know, Derrick Henry now has the base platform to start on a Hall of Fame path. I'm not saying he's getting into the Hall of Fame, but he's got a base now that is unbelievable in the past 36 games that no running back can touch.
Yeah.
And so he's got a solid foundation. Now, what he does from here on out will dictate a whole lot of that.
Yeah, no, it's a great base, as you said, man, to continue on, you know, to be one of the greats, and he has that. The thing he has on his side, too, is the fact that his wear and tear wasn't, you know, just as bad as a lot of other running backs
right.
were early on. So I'm looking forward to seeing his career continue to blossom and be what we think is going to be. Also interesting, too, Steve's got 15 career comebacks and 21 game-winning drives also. That's nothing to sniff at either.
No, not at all.
Like, this is efficiency as one could be efficient at playing.
And one of the toughest dudes at the position.
And that's the other part of it, too, is I think you got to, you know, look at the way they transcend, too, as far as Steve was still a runner, over 3,000 yards running, too.
No doubt. All right. Coming up in hour three of J-Mart and Ramon, we are going to talk at 8:20 to NFL Assistant Director of External Affairs, George Atala. He's going to talk to us about the team's reps that are already starting to opt out of voluntary off-season program work, and we'll get into league topics with him. But next, we want to do a quick mock and kind of see, does things get so crazy at the top of the draft 2 weeks from tonight in quarterbacks being taken and all those things, does it get somebody really good down at 22 in the draft for the Tennessee Titans? It's all ahead right here on J. Martin Ramon on 104.5 The Zone.